I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
We have an unusual show today. We're going to have a guest co-host at 2 o'clock. It's a man who bid, I think, what, $5,500, more or less, to be a co-host on the show. Money going to Chef Bruno's Katarina's Club to feed hungry children. And, you know, that big fundraiser we have every year around Christmas. Jeffrey Briggs was the winner. And he gets to co-host the show beginning at 2 o'clock. So we'll look forward to that. I mean, Handel got started that way, right? He was a guest on talk radio shows. And next thing you know. So we'll talk to Jeffrey. And Jeffrey's going to share a lot of his opinions on the world. And, you know, I'll take it easy. Let him carry the show. Now we're going to talk with Chris Adler from KFI News. Boy, this is nice to see. It's so refreshing to see a bad guy given a long prison sentence and nobody trying to make up a bunch of excuses for his violence. This is about little six-year-old Aiden Leos, who was killed during that road rage on, well, when did that happen? It happened last year? No, 2021. That's right. I forgot. God, a lot of time has gone by. Anyway, he gets shot to death. He was 6 years old because his mother was taking him to school, and he's on the 55 freeway, and she gets cut off. She flips off another driver, and in response, a passenger in that car fired a bullet and killed Aiden Leos. And it was just a terrible, awful, unbelievable case. And this is a 26-year-old man named Marcus Anthony Ariz. Let's get Chris Adler on, and she can fill in the details here and tell us what happened in court. Chris, are you there?
Hey, John. I'm here. Can you hear me, John?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. I know we might have a little bit of a delay. Okay. So, John, yes, court this morning, it was very powerful. The judge listened to the defense. He gave the defense an opportunity to provide any mitigating factors. And the defense brought up the age of Marcus Ariz when he shot and killed Aiden Leos in 2021. He was young, in his early 20s. And the law says that anybody who's 25 and under should have careful consideration that they're not fully developed, that their brain is not fully developed. And the court should carefully consider that. Well, the judge did carefully consider that. He also considered the statement. Ariz read two statements in court today. One was, you know, he never mentioned Aiden's name in the first statement that he read. But the second statement was an apology and it was a prayer. And in that statement, he started to tear up, took his glasses off, and he said, you know, I am so sorry for what I've done to the people around me, what I've done to little Aiden Leos. He called Aiden an angel, said he looked like the sweetest little boy and was very regretful for what he had done. And again, John, he was in tears. The judge considered that. He also, he considered these mitigating factors, but it wasn't enough for the judge to keep the gun enhancement. There was a gun enhancement that brought the sentence to 40 years to life.
Yeah.
Now, the first count was already, the first count was 15 years to life. And Ariz, you could see Ariz started to breathe a little bit heavy when the judge was reading this. And I think he was hopeful that the judge was going to have some leniency on him because, again, his age. And Ariz also claimed that he had childhood trauma. But the judge said he could not connect the childhood trauma to the impulse of him firing his weapon.
Do you know what the childhood trauma was?
Go ahead.
No, do you know what the childhood trauma was?
I don't know what the childhood trauma was.
Everybody's got childhood trauma.
The judge said that he couldn't connect. We all do. I've got childhood trauma. But the judge said he couldn't connect that trauma because he said Ariz had no record. So there was no record of this trauma affecting him in any other aspect of his life, John. So he said it didn't really stand. So he went through these mitigating factors and he was very careful. He gave the prosecution an opportunity, gave the defense an opportunity. But in the end, he said he couldn't justify Ariz using his Glock 17 handgun to fire at a moving car because Aiden Leo's mother flipped him off because she had been cut off. And I just want to play something for you that the judge said. He was looking directly at Ariz when he said this.
And she, the mom, did some driving maneuver that caused your girlfriend to give the peace sign, that caused the mom to flip off, and that caused you to get behind the car. And in that particular moment, you had the power, and the power was that handgun.
So, John, that gun enhancement, he kept the gun enhancement, and he gave him the maximum sentence, again, 40 years to life. I asked OCDA Todd Spitzer, I said, you know, why isn't it just life in prison? He said, because this is a second-degree murder. This is a second-degree murder case, and this was the maximum sentence that they could get. And I also want to note, John, that prosecutors did say that he will be eligible for parole in 20 years.
Yeah, I heard that. And that's terrible because God knows what the state of California justice is going to be 20 years from now. He might get a ticket out. What is he now, 26? He could get a ticket out when he's 46.
He's 27.
No, he's 27.
We confirmed he's 27. Yeah. And his girlfriend, Winnie Lee, his ex-girlfriend, Winnie Lee, she is facing her own trial that should be coming up this year for being an accomplice after the fact, John. So we'll see what happens in that case. But, it was really amazing to see the judge handle this today. He was very careful in his consideration, but again, it wasn't enough for him to be swayed, and he gave him the maximum.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Chris. Chris Adler.
Thanks, Sean.
KFI News reporting down there from Orange County. The road rage verdict where a 6-year-old Aiden Leos was murdered. was murdered by Marcus Anthony Ariz. And Marcus Ariz, can you imagine the kind of a punk he was, the kind of a jackass he was? I mean, little Aiden's mom cuts off his girlfriend. Whoop-de-doo. The mom's name is Joanna Clunan. So the girlfriend flashes a peace sign. Clunan flips her the bird. And what kind of person? I've always actually been amused by people who get angry because they're given the middle finger. Really? Somebody sticks their finger up in the air and you go into a murderous rage and I'm supposed to think that's reasonable, right? and it's sentencing day, and all of a sudden he has a childhood trauma. He'd never been caught committing a crime before, so that trauma must have just suddenly kicked in. Did mom used to flip him the bird, too? Did he have a flashback to being 8 years old, and mom gave her the finger? I mean, what a load of crap. What a load of garbage. And this heartfelt, sincere apology. Who wrote it for him? How many times did he rehearse it? I never believe any of this stuff, and I don't care even if it was sincere. It's just a pile of words. Aiden Leos is dead. Oh, and you're giving us a prayer? You're giving us some pre-written statement that probably a lawyer wrote for you, or a public relations crisis manager, some nonsense like that? Remember, he hid for 2 weeks. The time to apologize and realize you had a weird fit of anger and passion is immediately. But he went and he hid for 2 weeks. He didn't even show up for work. He hid his car. There was no remorse there at all. There was no like, oh my God, what did I just do? Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, yeah, and you had to reach over. He had to reach over in the back of the car and swing the gun over and then aim it at Joanna Clunan's car. That's what happened. He had a few seconds, more than a few seconds, as they were both driving down the freeway, to not pull the trigger. And you don't know what firing a bullet does? What a fake, phony fraud. And I just want to, I think the judge, because we beat on a lot of stupid judges, when I get his name right, Richard M. King. He was the Orange County Superior Court judge. And I know the law requires him to consider the apology or consider the childhood or consider his age. Okay, fine, I'll consider his age. You're guilty. 40 years. 40 years to life. And he better not be out in 20 years either. Defense attorneys, I'm a little sensitive today because we went through the whole OJ thing again yesterday. Defense attorneys like this exist just to emotionally manipulate and lie to jurors to get some violent scumbag off. That's all. This Marcus Ariz, a violent scumbag who shot a six-year-old boy to death, destroying mom's life because he saw a middle finger sticking in the air. And then he's got, oh, I got a bad childhood. This idea that you're supposed to consider a 23-year-old? When was a 23-year-old a child? When did that happen? I'm not aware of a 23-year-old being part of childhood. Can't you go to war at 23? Aren't most 23-year-olds out of the house? Aren't 23-year-olds married with their own kids in a lot of cases? What is this? He's a child. The brain's not developed. There's tens of millions of people under the age of 23 walking around who never fired a gun in traffic at somebody who flipped them off. What a load of horse crap. Anyway, good riddance. What he should do is die in prison. Marcus Ariz. We come back. We've got more.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to have a guest co-host for the day after two. Jeffrey Briggs, he's an attorney, and he spent a lot of money to be co-host for the day. He donated thousands of dollars to Chef Bruno's Caterina's Club, which we have the big pasta-thon every year to raise money to feed hungry children. And Jeffrey Briggs was the winner this year. And he'll be sitting in and co-hosting the show coming up after 2 o'clock. It's one of the rare times we'll allow an attorney in the studio. I got to mention this because to me, this should be huge news. And it's around. And I always like to spotlight when one guy is standing by himself going, whoa, over here, there's a big problem. And usually everybody else is going, no, no, no. There's always a consensus. There's always the conventional wisdom. And usually there's an outlier guy who's either more informed or smarter than the rest. And he's trying to get everyone's attention with a warning. This is about a terrorist attack. This happened in 2001. George Tenet was the CIA director, and he was vainly trying to get George W. Bush's attention, but Bush was busy painting in his bathtub or something. And in the August before the 9/11 attack, there was part of the Daily Intelligence package had in the headline, Osama bin Laden plans to fly planes into tall buildings. Something like that. And George W. Bush and the rest of the team ignored it. Wasn't particularly discussed. And what did you know? About a month later, September. In fact, there was a lot of those. There was two planes into the World Trade Center, one into the Pentagon, fourth plane went down in Pennsylvania. Maybe you remember it if you're old enough. All right, well, we've got a moment here, and I just want to mark the moment. FBI Director Christopher Wray said there's an elevated threat to U.S. public safety and national security, and he said, looking back over my career in law enforcement, I'd be hard-pressed to think of a time where so many threats to our public safety and national security were so elevated all at once. But this is the case as I sit here today. This is not a point where we can let up. Now, he was asking for money because he was trying to get the House to make sure that he's fully funded. And he says that the FBI needs support to tackle these threats. This is by no means a time to let up or dial back. We need all the tools, all the people, all the resources. They are fearful in the media that there could be an attack on us in some way or on Americans overseas because, as you know, Israel has attacked Iran and killed some of their leaders, and Iran apparently is gearing to respond, and so they're expecting an attack on Israel maybe today, maybe tomorrow, within the next couple of days at most, and we're actually sending American troops to Israel as backup in case things get out of hand. But Christopher Wray is worried about some of this happening here. And that's fine, except how in the hell would you leave the border wide open during a time like this? Why the hell would you allow millions and millions of people unvetted? We don't know who they are or why they're here. Lots of young men coming from all over the place, including the Middle East. Why would you let them in the country while the FBI director is saying, oh, we could have an attack here. There's all kinds of warning signs going on, a lot of flashing red lights. How about a flashing red light at the border and stop everybody? What is wrong with them? How could we have a government this bad and this stupid? So we're sitting ducks? We're sitting ducks to every whack job from the Middle East to come in here and blow us up? And then we have one guy goes before a committee saying, yeah, there's all kind of red warning signs. Everything's flashing. Oh, it looks pretty scary out there. Then close the effing border, you moron. All of you. Stop it. None of this is good. All right. When we come back, we got Blake Trolley. Blake has got more good news coming from Karen Bass's Los Angeles. What was the story we had the other day? The car theft. We're number one in car theft in the country. The Los Angeles metro region. So that's one gold star for Karen Bass. Here's another gold star. Downtown L.A. Why don't people go to downtown? I don't understand. Well, big shoplifting numbers, big arrest numbers, and oh, my God. Wait till you hear how thieves are now advertising their talents to consumers. Blake's going to explain that. You're not going to believe this one. Well, you'll believe it. Karen Bass is Los Angeles, everybody.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have
been
the podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We have much coming up. We have a special co-host that's going to be here after 2 o'clock. He won the prize of co-hosting the show. Donated $5,500 or so to Katarina's Club, Chef Bruno's charity that feeds hungry children. That was our holiday time fundraiser. And so Jeff Biggs is an attorney, and he's going to be on the show with us. Apparently his wife is the one who convinced him to bid the money and do this. And I just met them a few minutes ago. And so that should be fun coming up after 2 o'clock. We're going to go to Blake Trilley in 1 minute. I just want to set up something else. I just told you that Christopher Wray, the FBI chief, had this week told the House committee that there's all kinds of flashing warning signs about terrorists. And why the hell? And I'm saying, why the hell would you leave the border open? Wait till you hear this story. This just broke a few hours ago. They have arrested an Afghan man who's on the terror watch list. He's been arrested twice before, and the government let him go twice. And now he just was caught a third time. He's a major Afghan terrorist. We'll tell you all about it coming up in the next segment. But first, a man who is not a terrorist, as far as we know, Blake Trilley from KFI News. Earlier this week, we had the story about how L.A. is the number one region in car thefts, and now we've got Blake to tell us about downtown L.A. having a lot of shoplifting and shoplifting arrests going on. Blake.
Yeah, that's right, John. Shoplifting in downtown L.A. is actually on track to outpace last year. LAPD Central telling me that this year there have already been 267 reports and 192 arrests. Last year, there were 742 reports and 405 arrests. So keep in mind, we're about a third through the year, and just on the arrest number, we're almost at half that 405 number at 192. Macy's, Nordstrom, Sephora, Burlington, Target, Smart and Final, all among stores, officers are saying they're getting slammed. Clothing, shoes, and makeup, these are the hottest items being targeted. And I want to interject this, John, while these shoplifting reports are, you know, mostly shoplifting, some of these are Estes robbery cases where criminals get violent. We're told thieves have pulled knives, pepper spray, and tasers on security guards. So all of this, John, is stressing retail businesses in downtown LA. First of all, employees, we're being told, are now scared. And I'm sure this is not helping with the hiring of new ones. You have to imagine some of these employees have quit out of fear. We're also told that this theft has led to bigger increases in security costs, and that means higher prices that are being passed on to consumers. On top of that, And we hear a lot of complaints about this. Many of these stores are now caught between trying to figure out how to secure their products while not making the shopping experience so hard on people that they turn away. So I do question some of the future of some of these stores if this continues. You know, John, last August, the Organized Retail Crime Task Force was formed. The LAPD is trying to bust as many of these guys as they can, but it just seems like they cannot arrest their way out of this. And just like the rest of the state, they're being overwhelmed.
Are these guys going to prison for a long time after they're arrested, or are they let out and then they go back into business the next day? That's the key to this.
Right, and with a lot of these shoplifting cases, these are misdemeanor cases, and we've heard this from sources that a lot of times, even if they're given jail time, there isn't the jail capacity, especially if this is nonviolent shoplifting, to hold them.
This is the Prop 47 story. That's what this is.
Wait till you hear some of these details that came out. I did an interview with LAPD Captain Raul Javel, who really painted a picture of just how brazen these thieves are getting and really painted a picture of the ecosystem that has formed. We'll start here. And I know the Whole Foods types will be excited to hear this. We now have direct-to-consumer farm-to-table shoplifting, John. And what that means is that thieves are now posting advertisements on social media and asking individual people directly what they want so they can go steal it with them. Like, listen to this.
Some suspects are saying, you know, that they're taking orders. They're actually taking orders for stuff where they go in there and get that whatever item, steal it, and then sell it to whoever wants it. So we're seeing that and we're hearing that.
And he says that this is happening pretty rampantly, and officers are now trying to bust those social media posts. So
they're taking orders online?
And there's a backside to this, John. Javel was telling me that there's, a lot of consumers, if they see stuff online that's way cheaper than the actual price of the item, they know that's stolen. I probably don't want to buy that. But there is now a market for this. There are consumers that are looking for the stolen products because they know they can get these things at a discount.
Well, sure.
They can get a $200 item for $50.
Hey, there's like 50% increase in a lot of items. Like grocery items. So, yeah, the inflation's so bad, why not buy the stuff from thieves?
Yeah, so they're taking direct orders. And on top of that, when these thieves are being arrested, and I thought this really spoke to just the level of brazenness that we're at now here in the state of California, when these thieves are being arrested and being taken downtown to be booked, so this would mostly be a book and release, these thieves are arguing with officers. Listen to this.
They're demanding that we give them a citation at the scene because a lot of departments are doing that. It's basically you get a citation, you get your stuff, you get a citation and walk away. And in downtown LA, we're trying to send a message. You know, we're physically arresting people, physically booking them, taking a picture of fingerprints, and you get cited from the jail because we're trying to deter this in the simple ways that we can.
So there you have it. Thieves are being arrested as they're caught in the act of stealing, and they're saying, you need to cite me and let me walk
away.
They're
taking orders online, and if they actually get stopped by cops, they're requesting just for a citation. They're trying to negotiate with the cops so they're not taken into the police station.
And you heard Javel say, because there are some departments, and I think that this really comes down to a lack of resources. I don't think there's any department that's just doing it out of laziness. You know, one of the things Javel told me is that even within the LAPD, you know, they're trying to get their hiring numbers up. But a lot of these departments, with the rampant theft that's happening in California, they really just can't keep up with these numbers.
Well, because these are repeat criminals, and they get to steal, up to $950, and all you get is a citation. So, of course, they're going to do it all day. Why wouldn't they do it all day? They're making a lot of money for themselves and whoever's fencing the stuff. Everybody's making out. This is good work. And now you can have customers order online, and then you could give the cops a hard time and start negotiating, because if they take you down to the station, you lose time at work.
Yeah, well, and when you talk about repeat offenders, a lot of these stores, because these thieves are getting violent, and what we heard is that these thieves are pulling tasers, pepper spray, knives out on security guards. So a lot of stores, they don't want the litigation. They don't want the lawsuits. So they're saying, look, hands-off policy. Those stores, he says, are getting hit the hardest by repeat offenders.
Security guards are useless. unless you have somebody there in uniform who has a gun and is willing to use it, makes it clear they're willing to use it, this is going to go on unchecked because we have a stupid government that has legalized all this. Ay, ay, ay. Anything else?
Well, what I can tell you is that I did put in a request with the city attorney's office because a lot of these cases, JaVale told me, goes to the city attorney's office. So I put in a request to get the number of these cases that have been prosecuted, how many are pending. And that's a number I'm hoping to get here in the next few days.
All right, Blake. Well, if you do, let us know. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John.
That's Blake Trolley, KFI News. See, this is the real world when you see that blockhead, that gelhead, Gavin Newsom. Oh, no, Prop 47 has nothing to do with it. Yes, it's everything. It's the whole ball game. They know they can steal up to $950. They know that they'll just get a ticket to show up in court. They never show. Oh, so there's a warrant out. You know how many thousands of warrants there are out there that are never resolved? It's legal. In practical terms, in California, in Los Angeles, Karen Bass is Los Angeles, you know, this whole crowd was for defund the police. Well, here you go. They don't have enough police even to do the paperwork. And there's no penalties. Nobody's going to jail. The jails are overcrowded. Then build new jails. Prisons are overcrowded. Build new prisons. Newsom's busy closing prisons. This is what you get. How could you not get this? How could you not get? Well, they know it. See, they know that if they close jails and prisons, you're going to get fewer people in jail. That's what they want. This is by design. This is to create massive instability. That is the goal. The progressive movement wants to undermine the stability of your neighborhood, your city, your state, your country. That's what they're about. And they're winning. And they're executing this flawlessly. And we're standing around going, I don't understand. How could they do that? Well, hey, how many of you voted for Prop 47 10 years ago? Did you read the thing? Did you understand what you were reading? All right, we come back. More of the idiocy I mentioned earlier. And this is about an Afghan man, a terrorist. He's been arrested for the third time here in the U.S., he did a lot of nasty terrorist damage back in Afghanistan to Americans. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We got two rounds of the Moist Line coming up in the 3 o'clock hour. And after 2 o'clock in Heather's News, we are going to have a co-host in. The man who won the bidding for to be co-host of the show, Jeff Briggs. He's an attorney. And paid, I guess, $5,500, I'm told, and won the prize, Chef Bruno's Katarina's Club Pastathon fundraiser that we did. So Jeff Briggs will be in coming up after 2 o'clock. I mentioned a little bit ago that Christopher Wray testified before the House looking for funding, and he says there's so many threats to public safety, so many threats to national security, terrorists. He said the FBI's immediate concern is that individuals will draw inspiration from the Israel-Hamas war and carry out terrorist attacks in the U.S. For example, in Russia, at a concert hall just a few weeks ago, 144 people were shot dead by terrorists. All right, we discussed that. Here's part two, and this just broke a few hours ago. An Afghan terrorist on the terror watch list, apprehended by ICE. And you're probably saying, oh, well, this is a happy story. No, it's not. Because he's been captured twice before, fairly recently. His name is Mohammed Karwan. He's a member of Hezb-e-Islami, which is a terrorist group in Afghanistan. Get this, responsible for killing at least 9 American soldiers and civilians back from 2013 to 2015. So he's with that group. And he shows up in this country. Guess where he came? Here, California. He crossed at San Ysidro. He was apprehended in March of 2023 after crossing at San Ysidro. He was not on the terror watch list. referred to ICE, and they released him. It's called an ATD, Alternatives to Detention. Look, you're either sent to a jail cell or you go free, Alternatives to Detention. They set him free because there was not conclusive information to match him to the terrorism watch list. Well, wait a second. He came over the border illegally. That's enough. He's from Afghanistan. He came over the border legally. 11 months later, they added him to the terror watch list. They found new derogatory information is the way they described it. Well, so ICE was notified after they found the new information, and ICE arrested him. But 2 weeks ago during a court appearance, the prosecutors never told the federal immigration judge that this Afghan was on the terror watch list. Mohammed Karwan, again, is his name, in case you run into him. They didn't tell the judge that he was a possible national threat. This after they arrested him because he was a threat, but they didn't tell the judge. They didn't tell the judge why he was a threat. Department of Homeland Security. These are that agency's prosecutors. They can't disclose what they do or don't say in court, and they're limited what the department can tell a judge. Oh, well, you know what? The public ought to know. The public ought to know that if they catch a guy who they put on the terrorist list and then they don't tell the judge, yeah, we ought to know. So the judge ordered him released on bond. Who paid for that? Then today, he was taken into custody again with a court appearance for next year. So they spent all this time tracking the guy instead of, well, I would say deport him, but what's the point? If the border's wide open, these guys should be put in jail here, period. Suspicion of being a terrorist. I mean, he's part of a group that killed at least 9 soldiers and civilians that were American. What are we doing? Who signed this suicide pact? Who agreed to this? Herb E. Islami is a political paramilitary organization in Afghanistan. And they hate the West. And their goal was to replace the Afghan government that we backed with an Islamic state. All right, so that's his business. And this guy was running around loose. And it took 3 arrests to finally put him in detention. But probably next year he'll get out. I don't understand this government. They must be doing this on purpose. There must be a reason they're doing this on purpose. What do you think? What do you think that is? All right, when we come back, Jeff Briggs, he's an attorney, and he won the bidding to be a co-host on the show, and he's going to be with us after 2 o'clock. It was the bidding at Chef Bruno's Pastathon for Katerina's Club, and that's next.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have
have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.